Ritzy, how you doing?
Carmine.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you a story.
All right, tell
me. So I was talking to someone who was watching one of our videos, and she's, because you're not on camera a lot, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, so you do these things, you do one with Charles, you do one with Carmine. Because I call you Carmine half
exactly.
the time, and they never see you, so they thought that you were two different people.
Well, I am.
Well, I know you are.
But we don't have to get into that. This
but I just wanted to say, to clarify for our viewers at home, Charles, Carmine is a nickname for Charles. He's one person.
Yes.
Can we show his picture? Can you
move the camera? No, I can't see on camera.
He's in the witness protection program.
I'm in the witness protection program.
Okay.
So
okay.
Here we are today with our guest, and I will say it wrong. Anu,
yeah. You got it right.
Anu.
Aurora.
Alliteration.
My name is Anu Aurora.
It looks harder to say than... It does, and then it is, I guess. So, it's very beautiful. So, what group are you in?
I work with the Engineering Excellence Group. I am a principal aesthete and on the Test Excellence team.
So, what is the Engineering Excellence Group at Microsoft?
So, Engineering Excellence is an Uber group which is to make engineering better at Microsoft. So, within that, I am in the Test Excellence group, and my charter, it's a small group of about six individuals, and our charter is to make testing better at Microsoft. And it's through many different things. We do a lot of training. So I do, for example, the new test engineers training. I teach the test leads, test managers, and a bunch of other courses. Plus, we work on the big initiatives where we want things to move in a different direction than they are. For example, one of the big pushes is in the software plus services, and we're working on that initiative. And the third thing we do is consulting. We go out to different groups, and they'll consult with us on how to make testing better in their groups. And finally, evangelizing tests both inside and outside Microsoft, and this is through engineering excellence talks. I give a lot of talks at conferences outside Microsoft. So both forums, conferences, engineering talks.
So is this a lot about like helping to develop standards and things like that, or
it's one part of it is standards, but where I work is more about best practices. Mm. It's about information dissemination. It's a huge company. We are over 34,000 engineers, over 9,000 testers. How do you bring them on the same page? How do you make sure that if there are best practices in one part of the company, let's say Windows does something really, really well, how does Office, MBS,
right.
END, all the other divisions in Microsoft adopt those practices?
Right.
So it is about best practices. It is about training, especially in testing. Testing is not taught in a lot of colleges. So when we bring these people on board, they are very good developers.
Mm-hmm.
But how do they become very good testers?
Mm-hmm.
So we do the test training.
Mm-hmm.
I teach them the functional, structural techniques in testing. So those are some of the things which we are working on.
So how are you identifying these best practices? Are you spending a lot of time with the actual product groups and going in and when they're like working on a certain part of the ship cycle, figuring out what they did and how they changed their practices? I mean, how is your team gleaning this?
So there are two parts of the Engineering Excellence Organization. There's another branch which looks after this. They go and study all the best practices which the different groups are doing well, or new emerging practices. For example, teams are trying to do Agile in many different ways. You know, the Scrum, the Lean programming, the Pair programming, the test-driven development. And we want to go and see how these things are progressing and what are some of the lessons learned. You know, some teams will fail, some will be successful, some will do it very well. But what are the things which are gelling well, which are working well? Can we pick those up and then now propagate this to throughout Microsoft? Can we now socialize it so that it can become a best practice over larger Microsoft? So there are two parts of the team. My team is mostly focused on, we will learn from them, because that's the team who is studying these teams, right? They'll bring those back to us, and now we will help in socializing them. So those are the two various branches of engineering excellence, to say.
So what's your background? How did you get into this job? Are you a former developer, former tester? What's your story?
So my background is very different from testing. I'm actually an aeronautical engineer. So I did my master's in aeronautics a long time ago from Indian Institute of Technology in Madras. I worked on building helicopters in India.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and then fate brought us to Australia. We moved to Sydney, Australia, and that's where I was exposed to computers. I was exposed to computers in certain sense. My first program was written in Fortran 4 on mainframe computers using the punch cards. But, you know, that was it. That was my experience in programming. But then when I went to Australia, I got a job as a trainer in computers. And I had to learn computers. I did a ton of courses, and I learned more about computers, and I got more interested in it. And then we moved to Seattle. My husband, who was also an aeronautical engineer, stayed in aeronautics, and he got an offer to come work for Boeing. And my eyes were then set at Microsoft. So as soon as we moved to Seattle, I looked for a job, and I got a job as a tester. I was first a contractor for the first 6 months, and then later became full-time.
Cool.
So that's how I got into
How did you get into aeronautical engineering? I mean, did you just love planes and helicopters and flying?
I remember this, and my parents tell me that I wanted to be an engineer ever since I was 2 years old. My father was an engineer, and he used to wear this big hat, which I just loved. So I wanted to wear that hat and be an engineer. And and then I had love for planes. So when I got admission into engineering, I had a few choices, but I chose aeronautics because I just was fascinated by planes. So that's how. And my parents kind of encouraged me to follow my passion, and I'm glad they did.
It's interesting because when you think about like a product like Windows, in some sense it's as complicated or more complicated than like a 747, and they have an incredible amount of testing that Boeing does, various structures. So can you relate sort of like the sort of engineering test for, you know, mechanical engineering and aeronautics, compare that to software engineering for humongous products with a lot of dependencies? How do you put those pieces together?
So I, when I was an aeronautical engineer, I was actually a test engineer. I was a ground test engineer. So when we put the whole helicopter together, we go through all these tests, all the instruments are working, and we worked on it's a very old helicopter. It's Elbit 3, a French helicopter, and Hindustan Aeronautics Limited, which is a company in India, had the license to build that helicopter on site. And as we did that QA, the quality assurance on that, we had to make sure that all these things were working well together. There's so many different components. And one thing which I learned quickly was that any failure in a helicopter is SEV1P1. It can literally kill you. So I had a lot of regard for testing and understanding the importance of high quality, because you cannot absolutely fail in that kind of scenario. And I think that I came with that mindset, and I think that mindset has helped me succeed in testing at Microsoft.
Excellent.
Wow. So what's the number one mistake that most testers make?
What's the number? I think that they consider testing as a very limited discipline. What they think is testing is just finding bugs. And if I found a lot of bugs, I am a very good tester. And I feel that that's the wrong approach, because finding bugs is not the goal. The goal is to ship high-quality products. Finding a lot of bugs and even getting a lot of bugs fixed still may not result in a high-quality product. The product starts from the day one, right? The day one you think about building the product, that's where, whether it's the design, it's the planning, it's the design, it's the coding, everywhere testing and quality comes in. And testers have to engage at every step of the game. they have to understand the business, they have to understand the technology, they have to understand the product, they have to understand the customer. They cannot just come in and say, I test my piece, I find all the bugs, I get the most important bugs fixed, and I've done my job. I think that is the biggest mistake testers make, where they feel that their job is very limited.
Interesting. Hmm. So in some sense, I mean, let's talk about that, though. In reality, is at Microsoft, say, for in Windows, for example, when they design a new feature, is there a tester in the room at all points in the process? Because at some point, it seems that beyond automation for code testing, static analysis tools, a lot of what testers do is test code. So in some sense, what you're saying is they do much more than that. Is that really the case in big products?
It is changing. It is changing, and that's one reason why I'm in engineering excellence. Because before I came to engineering excellence, I was a test manager, and I worked on quite a few V1, version 1 products, which are shipping for the first time. And I realized that was not the case. We were brought later on. I was always fighting to get us involved early on in the product, for us to understand the design, for us to be able to give feedback in design. And I said, it'll be wonderful if I can come here, work in engineering excellence, and evangelize that, because that is where we will build great products from.
Excellent.
Day one. And lot of testing organizations, and more than testing, it is not just test organizations saying that I want to do this. The product group has to understand the importance of it and engage testing.
Yeah.
Early on, and that's happening. It's very heartening to see that a lot of teams in Microsoft are doing that, where they're engaging test early on, and test is making that contribution. So there, it's a many-facet problem. You can't just say bring test on, and then if test doesn't contribute, you're wasting time for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So testers have to ramp up, gain those skills, know how to do good specification reviews, know how to do good design reviews, how to find bugs in code reviews. Because just can't bring them on and say, oh, here, I have tester in here, and now we are safe because tester's going to take care of everything. They have to be equipped, skilled, involved in the process.
Excellent.
What are other facets to the Engineering Excellence Group?
What are the other facets?
What else do you oversee? Or
In terms of discipline, all the engineering disciplines. So testing is one, but then you have development is a discipline, content publishing. Is that what you're asking about? Yeah, all engineering disciplines. And we, in our teams, work with each other on some of these big problems. Because it's not just a testing problem. Building a high-quality product is an engineering problem, right? So all the disciplines need to get together to solve that. Yeah. So all disciplines are together in a lot of different projects we work on.
Now, do you work with, software? I mean, the unfortunate distinction between a software design engineer and a software design engineer and test is sort of like a historical problem. But in reality, do you work with, those labeled SDEs, the guys and girls who have to write code, check it in, fix bugs that they create? Do you teach them how to be better testers up front? Right? So a good software engineer needs to be a good tester.
Yes, yes. And not just a good software engineer in test needs to be a good tester, a good software design engineer whose coding needs to be a good tester.
Yes.
Because what if the bugs were not there in the first place?
Yeah.
How do bugs happen? They happen due to some human making those bugs in the product. They happen because either the program manager wrote it in the specifications or the developer wrote it in the code. What if we would educate them that they won't write the bugs in the first place? So our focus is also on making these people aware on how important is testing for them, so that they are responsible for their own code. So much so that developers, we now insist that they do their unit testing. And unit testing is their part of the code, what they write. Not only does it work well, but it also works with the other units.
Mm.
So to some extent, component testing as well. So yes, I think that is the key. You can't just leave all testing to testers and then expect a great product to be out there.
Absolutely.
So I'm expecting that when you were an aeronautical engineer, that you were, as a woman, that you were in the minority as a female.
That is true. I was the only female in my class. You know, we were 20 students and when I did my undergrad. And then when I did my postgrad, I was one of the four women, yeah.
So you've always kind of been in this position where you are surrounded by a lot of men.
A lot of dudes. A lot of knuckle draggers.
Good answer. Have you ever heard that one before?
Good.
I love to challenge them. I love to get into discussion. I enjoy them. And it's been stimulating so far.
So it's been not a problem in terms of your career, getting ahead or advancement or promotion or opportunities? And you've also lived a lot of places, India, Australia, the States.
I think this experience has been good. Just moving places has taught me a lot of things. And one thing which I've learned is that, to some extent, they don't know what to expect. When you're there, okay, she's a female, you know. Oh, she's an engineer. Okay, she might know something. Mm-hmm. And then I think you have to prove yourself. So everywhere I have to go, I have to prove myself. But once I've done that, then it becomes the same. I think there are days when I forget I'm a woman, then I go back and look at the mirror and say, gee, okay.
That's right.
I look very different. I have different color, different face. Yeah.
But for you, it's never been a problem? It's never held you back?
It is. It's been a problem in the sense that there is that initial time where I have to go and prove myself. So there is that additional time it takes every time I move to go prove myself.
Mm-hmm. Start over.
Yeah, so to start over. But other than that, once I've done that, I think then it becomes the same.
Mm-hmm. And as you're teaching these classes and you're going out and talking to testers, are you seeing more women?
I am.
Are the numbers increasing?
Yeah. I see lot more women testers. Mm-hmm. And I also travel a lot. I go and teach in Dublin, taught in India, China. And there, too, I see a lot more women.
Good.
In my classes. So I am really happy about the fact that there are more women, at least in testing, not sure about development. Mm-hmm. A lot more women are taking up testing.
Hmm. Excellent. I mean, that seems to be the case at Microsoft. There seems to be more women in test and PM.
Because there's a perception that it's less technical, right?
There is a perception that, unfortunately, if that's the case, that you just test, like she was saying, dev writes code. I mean, I was a dev and a tester at Microsoft, and so I've been in both beds. I mean, I write code and I throw it over to test and I say, find bugs. That's the wrong way to do it. But that is steeped in our heritage. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think what should happen is we should just change the title, right? Everybody's an SDE. Just some of them, you know, write tests for a living and automate testing, and some of them create bugs in code. Just kidding, guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, why not think about like the esteem kind of aspect? I mean, it's important to humans. I remember when I was a tester, when I first joined Microsoft, I wanted to be an SDE.
Because you felt like a second-class citizen.
I felt like a second-class citizen, so I became an SDE, right?
So that's interesting. If you can comment on that, since you're so close to this, is there a class difference between testers and pure SDEs?
I think there is a perception issue. There's definitely a perception issue, especially when you start at Microsoft. You want to go and do development because that seems like more cool of profession. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One is that the software design, engineering, testing as a profession, which is as technical as development, is not really socialized outside Microsoft. Mm. I gave a talk last year at a Grace Hopper's conference. Actually, it was a panel discussion on an STAT career. A career they don't tell you about in colleges. And it was full, the hall was full, it was jam-packed, and we had women coming to us after the talk and saying, gee, I did not know testing was this. I thought testing was they'll throw stuff at you and you'll just do some monkey testing, you know, mundane job, and it's not interesting and I don't need to apply my brain. I didn't think testing could be so highly scaled, so involved, so growing. In fact, it seems like it's going to be better than development. I want to take testing on. And in some sense, because I could be biased, because I love testing, I love QA, and I love the gaps we need to fill in, because the opportunity is so enormous in this field. But I feel that this is far more interesting and skilled than development. Because there's so many different aspects you need to bring into testing. You need to know coding, because you have to be a good coder to be a good tester. But you can't just be a good coder to be a good tester. You can be a good coder to be a good developer, right? That's the only thing you need, and you become a good developer. But with just coding, you couldn't be a good tester. You need to have a good understanding of the customer, know those scenarios, know the testing methodologies and techniques, because testing is not just an art. There is so much science to it. It's a fairly new discipline, and it's growing. There are techniques which people need to know to do smart testing. So I feel that it's much more interesting to be in test any day than in dev. And that's what people realize. Once they are in test for a few years, and then they see that there is a career ahead for them, they are getting the promotions, they are learning stuff, they are challenging these age-old concepts in testing, and they're doing these breakthrough stuff, they want to stay in test. They don't want to move out. So we have more and more people now. And the other problem which we had, one was the socialization issue. The other one was not having enough role models. So it's if I can't see many people at principal level who are ICs, I don't know if there's a career path. But the reason why we didn't see many people earlier is because the levels in testing started a little bit lower than development earlier, when we had the STEs, software test engineers, which means that they were behind in the levels compared to developers. And then before they reached the principal levels, they left to join program management or development. Now that they are staying, there are role models. There are more and more of them for people to see and join. So I think as we start seeing more folks in senior levels, you'll get even more.
That's true.
Trends positive.
Well, I mean, Soma, right? Soma came from tests.
That's right.
He runs the developer division.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
There you go, man. You can.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's dealing with that, the sort of the perception of the company, the class hierarchy. I mean, in some sense, it is sort of like a class hierarchy, right? You have the developer, the tester. You have the PM, dev, and test, right? And PM.
And then marketing way down here.
And marketing way down there.
Yeah.
You know, when marketing gets in the mix, test can't even help out.
Yeah.
Just joking. But it's interesting. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that we're actually working on this.
Changing
and
it.
You can grow, because
yeah.
a lot of the feedback I got over the years was sort of, once you're a good tester, you can't get out of it. Because people want you, right?
Yeah.
They want
yeah.
you to be a tester. And they don't want you to be an SDE or a PM. Just stay in test. And so people felt a little trapped.
Yeah.
They're really, so it's kind of that catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
You're a great tester. We don't want you doing anything else. So yeah, now that you're saying, I mean, for example, you're a principal. And for people in the audience who don't know that, that's a very senior kind of
level
at Microsoft, whenever you're a principal anything. Mm-hmm. So the next thing after that's going to be partner, right? That's how it works. So right on is all I can say.
Right on. 10 minutes later.
That's the usual. See, that's Carmine. No, maybe it's not. So now for the hard questions, Ritz.
Yes. No, go ahead, please.
No.
You're on a roll.
No, how do we get more women in this field? We ask all of our women people that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the story here? How do we get more women in Microsoft?
Yes.
And or anywhere.
Yes. And the question is, how do we... There are women who are already grown, but then girls who are still very, very young in elementary school, junior high. How do we get them excited about computers and technology, and that it's not for nerds and geeks and off on the side kind of thing?
I think it's women like us who have to go and mentor them, who have to go and socialize this, who have to go and talk about this, who have to go and say, this is cool, man. This is cool. I love it. I have a life, too. You know, there are a lot of things I'm involved in. I did the loaned executive role last year. So a lot of life outside this. But then I am passionate about this stuff, and I can make so much of a difference. So, you know, I did another talk in Witty. It was bridging the digital divide, and that this was one of the issues we discussed on how do we get more and more women into math and science. And again, the biggest issue is role models. If their role models are from Hollywood,
yeah,
that's what women want to be.
Oh my God. And that's,
you know, that's where they're going to go. So I think it's all the women who are really doing well in technology fields and are happy about it and feel that they have a balanced life and are passionate about what they do should go and talk about it and mentor women. And I have girls, and I mentor a few girls in our, you know, friends and family, just that they take on those. And it's not that. A lot of people say, oh, girls are not good at math. I don't think that's true.
No,
I just don't think that is true.
Mm-hmm.
It is because of what are we telling them
right.
to do?
That's right.
What are they watching on the television? What kind of games do they have?
Mm-hmm.
Do we even build games for them?
Right.
If you go and look at the games which kids are nowadays playing on the, you know, Xbox 360 and other PlayStation and other, how many of them are really made for girls?
Mm-hmm.
How many games do you find on the shelf for girls?
Not many, but I know there's a lot of female gamers.
It's, yeah.
They're very close in percentages. I mean, there's a lot of gaming females.
But, I mean, all the games are about, you know, shoot them up and kill them and things.
Well, women like to blow shit up.
Yes,
right?
that's true.
Yeah.
Just like women are good at math, but there is a, like, I think there are certain studies and trends and things about what boys like versus what girls like, and most of the games are for boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot which can be done, and more women get into technology industry, they will start influencing the design.
Yes.
They say, okay, let's make these games a little bit different. Right. Let's cater to the 50% of this world which is a different gender.
Mm-hmm.
Let's build something for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's that situation, catch-22. You get more in, and you'll change this. But those are some of the things we can do. And I don't agree with anybody who says that women are not good at math.
I like that.
Agrees. In fact, you were good at math.
I mean, I was good at math.
All the women we've interviewed so far have either been math majors or loved math.
Yeah,
it's
so
true.
There's a trend there.
My favorite subject was math.
That seems to be like the gateway into engineering and computer science.
Absolutely.
Math. It's just a lot more, I don't know, I mean, math is, for a lot of people, and I'm sure this is changing as, because we're, for our young people now, have a lot more like computers and stuff in school, and it's being taught as part of the curriculum, but it wasn't a long time ago, and so math was kind of the way to get into the more of that technology.
Well, I mean, it's just the good thing about math is it teaches you how to solve problems, right? You train your mind, and in some sense, math is pretty simple because there's a finite level of abstraction, right? So, I mean, unless you get into the really weird
stuff. There's no gray.
There's not a lot of gray. Unless
you go to MIT and then...
Then it gets really interesting.
Because no one solved it yet.
No, but that's what's cool.
I think I liked it because I could get 100 out of 100. It's
yes,
hard to get that languages.
Exactly.
Now, this is one score which is granted, right? Yeah. Everything else you have to work so hard on, and then you don't know because languages...
Subjective.
Teacher would give you 4 out of 5, and then you could argue about it. With math, there is no argument.
It's a complete meritocracy, isn't it?
Yeah.
With math.
Yep.
So we've lost our way here.
Carmen. No, this is great. I mean, we covered that. I mean, it's nice to see you know, a high level engineering female on our show. So, do you think, going back to the original question, do you think that we're always going to call this discipline test? And in some sense, that is, you know, that needs to be. In and of itself, maybe that term needs to be removed from the lingua franca, right? and we should call it something else.
Well, I like the word quality assurance because I think that way we are doing all the steps which are required to build a high quality product, and we get involved in every stage of the product game. Mm-hmm. We are there in planning, we are there in design, we're right there in building, making products which are more testable. Mm-hmm. If they are testable, then we can test them. Mm-hmm. And if we can test them, we can find those big bugs before customers find them. So I love quality assurance. I ask my boss, see what he feels about it.
Yeah. quality engineer.
Our quality engineering.
Totally. Lord knows we need it. I mean, the industry does. I mean, software, when you think about it, is a black hole. Well, I mean, think about, like, first of all, everyone's writing things like C and C++, and I don't want to get into that argument, but it's like, it's a dangerous black hole of black science. I mean, black art?
Black art.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's so many dependencies, and there's the whole problem of, like, shared state, and all these, like, really unfortunate realities that we have for ourselves that makes super complex software really, really hard to get right. And it's hats off to the Windows 7 team and the Office team and the Visual Studio team and to Google and other companies, and because we're not the only ones who do really solid engineering. It's hard. It's a super hard discipline. Yeah. I mean, aeronautics, that's hard, but come on, man.
Really?
It's not as black art as software.
That is true. And there is the knowledge, right? There's the knowledge you need to gain and update, and it's constantly evolving. There isn't a point in software engineering where you can say I'm done
that's
learning,
right.
And that's it,
right?
Mm-hmm. This is all I know and this is all I shall use. You'll be redundant very soon,
right?
Excellent.
So, that's right. But can I just say that
yes.
I would prefer higher quality assurance on my airplanes than I would my software.
Amen. But don't forget, there's software running those planes.
That's true. Yeah.
Autopilot is software.
It's like a wing or something falling
Lot
off.
More software now running planes than
indeed.
People.
But of course, they're not the typical kind of software. It's domain specific and unbelievably redundant, and
Do you have any last questions?
No, I don't.
I just have to say thank you.
Thank you, Ritzy.
Thank you for being on
thank
our
you.
Show and putting up
awesome.
With us. It was very interesting.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, this is what our show is all about. Great job, and keep on pushing the envelope.
Okay. Wonderful.